Hello and welcome to another episode of Bourbon and Blood. And tonight we're going to dive into a movie called The Tooth Fairy from 2006. And I have a special guest again.
It's me, Angel, again.
Woo! And here we go. Yeah. Welcome back. I'm Danny.
And I'm still Angel.
She's still Angel. We're here to talk about The Tooth Fairy.
But there are some trigger warnings for this that I think we should say first.
Yes. What are they?
Okay, so I wrote them down. So there's talk of sexual assault in the film, and there's violence towards children in the film, and there's reference to drugs. So.
I've never done a trigger warning for drugs. Just drugs are so common these days. I didn't even think about it.
Oh.
But the other stuff, yes, definitely.
Maybe it's not a trigger warning. I don't know.
It could be. It could be. Yeah. What references were to drugs? We'll get to that. So we woken up. We open up in 1949, and there's two pesky little kids that go to this broken down old gross house because they heard a rumor or a story of a tooth fairy that if you give a tooth, you get a cool bike. Does everyone just get a bike?
I think they just get like cool shit, but the one kid like wanted a bike really bad.
I've got a question about this, Angel. So there's a rumor or story of people doing this, going to the house, giving the tooth, getting a prize. But it doesn't look like anyone's ever survived. So like,
dude, who's spreading the rumor?
Who's
because if nobody's surviving, then nobody can come back and be like, check out this dope ass bike I got from that crazy lady in that house.
Dude, it just took one tooth.
Yeah.
She's like a deformed old lady. What did it say?
Yeah. No, I wrote it down, actually. He's like, on account of that disease made her ugly. Like, fuck you, kid. Like, damn.
When she talks in the beginning, at least, not so much towards the end, she sounds like Bea Arthur from Golden Girls. And all I could imagine was Bea Arthur doing this. And I love Bea Arthur. So
the first thing she says to the kid is, are you alone? Like, leave. Leave.
The door shuts behind you. Again, leave.
Yeah. Jesus.
Another question I have about this whole setup that this tooth fairy's got going on here. She helps the kid pull out a tooth. And she doesn't kill the kids until after she gets a tooth. You're going to get a whole mouthful of teeth.
Yeah. Okay. So that was actually something that I wrote down too.
Like, streamline the process. Just kill the kid. Take the teeth.
Like, it's fucked up. But yeah, that's what I was thinking too. Like, what's the point of like the whole, like, just like the game that you're playing?
Maybe it's her kink. She likes a little cat and mouse.
Maybe. Oh, no.
But the bike was a Schwinn. Everyone kept talking about how cool the bike was. The bike got brought up like three times in the movie.
Wait. Oh, man. We should have looked it up before this. Is that bike? Was that like that bike kind of looked like a newer bike? Like, was that actually from 1949?
Oh, I don't know. But I do know Schwinns have been like the top tier bike for as long as bikes have been cool.
OK.
So I'm assuming.
So they're like sponsored by Schwinn.
Yeah.
Or something.
And then we get, so the kid's name's Austin, and they pull his tooth, and she just comes at him with an axe.
Yeah.
And like just destroys him.
It was really sad.
It was. Poor kid.
And then his friend was outside and he was really scared and he runs away. Did they ever talk about that kid?
No.
Oh, I feel like if I were that kid, I'd be like, actually, you don't get a bike.
Spread the real rumor.
So don't go to that scary house.
Dude, you guys, I heard about this bike situation. It's not legit.
We went for the bike and I'm the only one who came back.
Also, we know the bike is real because the girl later in the movie is riding the bike and excited about the bike.
Yeah.
Where did this evil witch get this badass bike?
Magic.
Oh, okay.
She like traded a tooth for it or something.
She goes to the store, trades them some teeth. Oh, my God.
No, she turns all the teeth into bikes.
They're teeth bikes. Oh. All right, so we cut ahead to the future. What year? I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know if it's supposed to be present day, but a lot of the cars and the ice cream shop made it feel like it wasn't. But then There's a sunglasses thing that made it feel like it was present day. I don't know. We'll get to that.
Yeah, maybe it was supposed to be like that part was the early 2000s. Because also, like, nobody had, I don't want to say nobody, but I didn't see anybody like using a cell phone all the time.
Was there any cell phones?
I don't remember if there were any cell phones at all, but it didn't seem like anyone was really carrying a cell phone. So, like, if there were, they weren't like what they are.
Yeah.
Now, you know?
I don't know. All right. So, Lachlan, yeah, Lachlan Monroe is our main dude. And if you've watched Scary Movie, he's like the jock dude in it. He's done a lot of like horror comedies and. Like, he was a cop in a movie recently. I don't know. He's,
oh, wow.
He's fun. He's never been, like, a main actor until, I guess, this movie, even though I don't think he was the main actor. I think the little girl was.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was a star. So he bought a house, this house, the haunted house, the Tooth Fairy's house, the witch's mm-hmm. house, and he's turning it into a bed and breakfast because he wants to be a writer.
Yeah, but he didn't know that it was, like, the witch's house before this.
Yeah. Probably got a good deal on it, though.
He probably did. And everybody was talking about how, like, yucky the house was, but that house looked hella nice. Like,
yeah, he did some work.
Yeah.
Him and Bobby.
Yeah.
So then we cut to the mom and her daughter driving to the new place. And I hate it in movies, and I get it, because there are kids out there that are fucking smart and cool shit. But when the little kid in the movie just seems smarter than the parent, like, over the top. Like, the mom's like, I don't know what to do. And she's like, well, you wanted gas and you need directions. Yeah. Pull into that gas station, yeah. Which did not turn out the way it should have.
I want to just before we, the mom is a fucking MILF, dude. Like,
yeah.
Oh my God. And her makeup just on fucking point. Okay, sorry.
No, why don't you describe to me how. And the way you feel is most respectful, what happens at the gas station, which is honestly scarier than anything the Tooth Fairy does, dude, in this movie.
For fucking real. The gas station shit, respectfully, was the most fucked up bullshit I've ever motherfucking seen in my life. Respectfully, of course. No, like, those gas station dudes the were Hammond so fucking brothers. Creepy. Yeah. And the one guy's eyes were like always bulging out of his head, and then like at first they just seemed like they were like really pissed off, and then it got super fucking rapey, and like
it didn't get like super rapey. They said, let's take her behind and rape her.
Yeah, it was overtly rapey. Yeah.
It was just it, was, in it wasn't face.
Like, yeah, yeah, he said something about like pulling her underwear off and shit, and like seeing like how run through she was. It was really fucked up. Like, it was really fucked up. And the MILF, I did not catch her name.
I didn't write it down either.
I was just
so MILF is the name of
so entranced.
I got everyone else's name.
Pam's mom. Yeah. MILF. That's what I've been writing down. I didn't get anybody's name except for the girl, really. Well, no. But anyway. But yeah, then she like fights him off, I guess. But she was like pumping some fuel into her car, and she didn't pay. She didn't pay for it.
No,
she didn't pay for it.
And when did she have a chance? They yeah. were,
yeah,
they were like attacking her.
Yeah,
they broke her window. She sped off real fast.
Yeah, and they were like talking shit about Peter, which is like the dude that you just mentioned, who like bought the house that he's turning into an inn. They were like talking like mad shit about him, and dude, they like addressed the little girl.
Yeah,
like that was so fucked up. Like, they just like address her, and they're like swearing and shit about Peter, and said something about him being her dad. She's like, my dad's dead. And so like at this point we really don't know like her relationship with Peter, or really like these two people's relationship with Peter, just that they want to go to his inn. They bust her window. I don't know if I was like writing something at that point, but I don't really remember how like they did it, but they busted her window in her car.
Well, they were carrying around a tire iron.
Oh,
that they swung at her at one point and she dodged.
Oh fuck.
No, it was like it went from 0 to 10 real fast. It went from her trying to talk to a little girl that was in the garage in a red coat, which we find out later is like the sister to the two dudes and is also which is never described, but she also looks like the witch all burned up or something.
Yeah, I didn't realize that she was a little girl. I thought she was an old lady.
She might have been an older lady, but she was short, so I don't know.
Yeah. Pam's mom was like trying to figure out how to get to the inn, so they stopped to get fuel and to like ask for directions. Pam went in to use the restroom, and that's literally like, she's like, hey, how do I get to this motherfucking inn? And then they're like, bitch, what?
And then
just started like, yeah.
And then I got so annoyed at Pam, because like, I know that she doesn't know what's going on, but she comes out of the bathroom and her mom's like screaming for her because, you know, she's having a very hard time outside. And Pam's like, don't call me Pamela anymore. My name is this.
And don't like, just call like, me Pam anymore. It's Pamela. And like, she's like grown.
You know, she's just taking her time getting out there and being all cutesy and like outside. Yeah. Mom is dealing with the worst fuckers in the world.
Yeah, like literally a fucking nightmare scenario. You like cannot leave because your child is still inside.
Yeah.
And these dudes are trying to like sexually assault you. Nightmare fucking scenario. She's like, it's Pamela, bitch.
She walks out all slow motion.
Yeah, like we can talk about it in the fucking car.
Seriously, the Hammond brothers, every time they're on screen, was actually scarier than.
Yeah.
Even though, you know, the witch is super evil and murdery, those two.
Like that itself is terrifying.
Those two felt more real. Like those are the two you'd run into in real life.
Yeah. And then they like, they leave. They finally like leave and they go to the inn and they get there. The little girl gets out of the car. Pam gets out of the car.
Before they get out of the car, Peter runs out because he's excited because he heard a car. And
sorry.
Then we get introduced to fucking Star Roberts, guys.
Woo. Who's
a great character in this movie.
I wrote down some of the shit that she said in this movie.
So Star was a stripper for 3 years because she has the body for it, but wants to be a vet.
She was a dancer.
I'm sorry. I should have just assumed that she was a stripper then.
She was an exotic dancer.
But she is super obsessed with animals. What are some of the things she said?
Dude, she's like talking about birds and shit. No, like some of the shit that she says is like, I don't want to, because I like wrote what she had said.
To what happens in the
movie. All right, so I don't.
We'll say like star moment.
Yeah, okay, cool. Oh my God, I love that. Yeah.
So yeah, Star's there. She's there a week early. She has like a million bags. She gives off a lot of like,
cunt. She gives cunt at first.
Yeah, what was the name of a? I'm drawing a blank on the two rich girls that went to the country on a TV show.
Oh my God, was it the one where they start?
Nicole Richie and what's the one that has the dog and made a porn tape?
Paris Hilton?
Yes.
Yeah, you talk about a porn star. I'm gonna know.
I don't think she's a porn star. She just made a tape. So Paris Hilton and Nicole Richie, they did like a show where they went and lived on the farm.
Just pause for a second. If you've made a porn and you're known for the porn, then you're a star. Like, I'm just saying that.
All right. Sorry, Paris Hilton.
If I know you for your porn, you're a porn
star. Fair enough.
Okay, sorry.
But in that show, I feel like they get out of the cab with like 60 bags of luggage, Louis Vuitton bags, and that's basically the vibe that was getting off here from Star.
Yeah, it's kind of giving like bitchy vibes of like, I don't know, it just kind of, I think it was trying to set it up to make you think that she's extremely self-centered and not very intelligent.
She has proved that wrong.
Oh yeah, definitely.
But we also get introduced to Bobby, because he's like this little farmhand help out.
All shirtless.
I know, looking gorgeous. But he's stricken by Star. Everyone's stricken by Star.
Yeah, he like sees her and starts fucking moaning.
So Bobby goes for Star, and that doesn't work out. We'll talk about that later. And then one other character goes for Star. Yeah. And then even our main Peter dude gets a little like starry-eyed. You don't think so?
I don't think so. I actually wrote some shit down about that, too. So
all right, we'll get to that. Sorry, yeah. I'm jumping way ahead here.
No, you're fine. Yeah, you're jumping all the way to the end.
All right, so then they show up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Her name's Darcy.
Oh, it is Darcy.
I was like, I did write down her name. Darcy.
Darcy's a cute name. I think I just really like the mom.
So Darcy is awfully chill about the situation she just went through.
Yeah, she doesn't even mention it at first. Like, Peter has to ask her, like, what happened? Like, he sees her broken window. But, okay, so the little girl gets out of the car, runs up to Peter. It's a very, like, cute relationship that she seems to have. Like, she is obviously extremely comfortable with him, the little girl, Pam. And she, like, hugs him, and he kisses her on the cheek. And I think he said something about missing her. He was excited to see her or something. Yeah. And, you know, like, we were kind of questioning if he was her dad. But definitely has, like, a father figure type, like, role in her
life. She did say later that Peter was engaged to my mom.
Yeah.
So I think it's like stepdad situation. Yeah. But like someone that's always been there for her.
Yeah, definitely. They have like a really strong relationship, and that was really cute to see. And so that's like kind of how you see like the interaction like with the three of them.
Yeah.
First is you see like his relationship with her. Yeah. And then he sees like the broken window. And he fucking has to ask her.
I'm sorry. I feel like if anyone I know gets out of the car, that's the first thing they're telling me.
Oh, yeah, dude. Yeah. And then so she tells him that they like tried to sexually assault her. And he's like, wow, that's like crazy.
And he's like, yeah, they're probably mad because I kicked him out of the house because they were squatters. Like, that's his reasoning for it.
Yeah. He's like, you know what? They have a good excuse.
Kicked him out of their home. They're going to do stuff like this.
Yeah, the natural next step is to try to sexually assault
everyone that knows stranger. Me.
Yeah, you know, say what are you going
to
do?
They're going to try to sexually
boys assault will you. Be boys. That was the kind of fucking mentality. Yeah, I know. Like, we're both like, what the fuck?
Bobby is out cleaning the wood chipper, which, I mean, if you're in a horror movie and someone's cleaning a wood chipper, you know it's what's going to happen. Like, it's not even foreshadowing at that point. It's just like putting the nail on your forehead and hammering it in. Like,
here it is. We're going to use this at some point.
This is going to kill someone. I wrote down also, and I noticed, I don't know if this was completely made for TV. I think it said something about stars at the beginning, like the channel stars.
Oh, okay.
But anytime I see a movie like this, you could tell instantly that it's not a big budget movie by the music. And the music in this movie was very like, Are You Afraid of the Dark? Goosebumps. Like that soft, like, doo, dee, dee,
oh,
dee,
yeah,
dee,
yeah.
Doo.
Yeah.
Like, just get a better composer. I bet your movie would look more professional. It didn't look bad.
No, it wasn't bad.
But
I think some of the songs fucking slap.
Oh, my God. I can't wait to talk about that. We need to look that up. I'm going to insert it when I get to it. What else do we have before that?
Well, the opening song, I fucking love that too. I actually wrote that was my first note.
Part
the opening song.
So then we get introduced to the most, what is the word for it when it's just so disgustingly obvious and silly?
Is it Emma? Is that what you're talking
about? Emma Jin? Imagine.
Oh!
Her name is Emma Inge or something like that.
Inge. I don't know. Dude.
Basically, it's Imagine. And you're like, oh, is this a ghost? I mean, her name is Imagine.
I didn't even catch that.
Emma Jin.
Damn. You're like hella smart. Thank
you. So this little like girl comes up to our Pam girl who's obsessed with the bike. The bike's there. It's covered in cobwebs, and I feel like most kids wouldn't touch it because of that, but
I wouldn't fucking touch it.
See? I don't know a kid that's like, oh, I'm going to jump on this bike just completely covered in cobwebs.
Yeah, that's fucking yucky.
So she's telling her about the witch. They go on the bike ride, and my favorite thing is she's like, we're not supposed to talk about the witch, and then proceeds to tell everything about the witch for the next 5 minutes.
Yeah. It's like, it's bad luck to talk about her. Oh, they make a Harry Potter reference in that.
A Harry Potter reference a few times.
Yeah, but that was the first one.
Yeah.
I should have counted them.
Only twice, I think. The second one was sad, and we'll get to that in a little bit. Yeah. But so this one, yeah, she's like, you've never heard of Harry Potter? And that's your first clue that, oh, this is a
ghost girl. No, like when, so Pam like sees Emma in like the shed. She's looking at the bike and shit. Emma just like appears. She's just like onto the screen. I was like, oh, sick, ghost. I think I wrote down, ooh, ghosts.
You did. 3 or 4 O's, guys. Ooh, ghost.
Ooh.
Ooh, ghost.
Yeah, and so it's just like, I don't know, and she's wearing like clothes that makes it look like she's from, you know, like the 1940s, and
a straw hat.
Yeah, like obviously, yo. She's never heard of Harry Potter. Like, dude, and this little girl talks a lot about parents dying. I think I wrote that down. Oh yeah, why are all the parents dead? Like the fuck? What happened in 1949 where every child's parent died when they were like 11 and now they have to take care of themselves?
Maybe they're all witches. I mean, they are sitting on Witch River talking about witches that haunted the house and how most of the kids in the town are dead because of witches.
Yeah. If you're sitting on Witch River talking about witches to a motherfucking ghost, like, come on.
Come on now.
Like the fuck.
This one I wrote down. Why don't I just kill the kid and not take all the teeth that way? Okay, so Pam is writing back after this long talk about witches, and she finds out, oh, don't lose your tooth, even though I've got a loose one. Mm-hmm. And then, like, the fucking witch football tackles her out of the woods on her bike.
Yeah. Like, I thought that she was going to pop off then. She just, like, just didn't.
Why wouldn't she? She just tackled the girl. Yeah, the tooth is out on the ground.
You just knocked her down. Like, no parents are around.
It was like a straight up football tackle too.
Yeah.
So Pam's riding back now with like a bloody mouth and missing a tooth when that witch could have just taken care of business right then.
She could have just fucking yoinked it off the ground then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then we have, is this the dinner time? Yeah, song during dinner.
Dude, the song during dinner slap. Yeah.
And it was out of control.
It was so good. And then there was like a part where it was like something about thunder. And then the thunder was like, I was like, oh shit.
It was like a slow motion camera going around the kitchen table as everyone was eating.
Yeah. And they were all like laughing and just like having a great time.
They were family.
It was all so fun.
So Star goes outside because she can't sleep. And Bobby's out there just pumping fucking iron. And Star's like, I'm going to tell you some bird facts. Did you write anything down? Dude.
Okay, I didn't write down any of the bird facts. I'm so sorry. Fucking. Oh, my God. It's like, okay, so the first thing I wrote about it is no one gives a fuck, Star. Like, she's just like talking about fucking birds. Like, she was talking about how fucking pigeons were like brought over as pets and now they're like
invasive.
Yeah, an invasive species and shit. It's like no one gives a fuck, Star, respectfully, of course.
But this made me like Star more because she talked about how she was like this nerdy kid and then she got hot and everyone expected her to be a dancer or whatever. Mm-hmm. But like when she talks about animals and birds, she's like, the actress plays off that she's genuinely excited to tell everyone about these bird facts.
Yeah.
Like, she is a nerd about, like, oh, dude, you got to hear about this hummingbird. Like, that's not a normal hummingbird. This is the name of the hummingbird.
Yeah, like, the scientific-ass fucking name. Like, she told that motherfucker the genus of the goddamn hummingbird. Like, it's like, okay.
And then Bobby's response to all this bird stuff, he comes to this next where he's like, I used to play football. And I think you're really smart, and I'm going to school for electrical engineer. My parents want me to be a farmer hand, but I want to be an electrical engineer.
Yeah. She's like, oh my God, do it, queen.
Which is very important later because Star says something really funny later.
Oh, also, Star kept going in and out of a Southern accent.
Oh, I didn't even notice
that. It was pissing me off. Like, pick a fucking lane, yo.
Oh, man.
Okay. First to die.
Oh, hold on.
Oh, no. So, nobody dies yet.
No, we're about to be there.
Okay, we're about to be.
Because it goes back and forth. Dead. So actually, so he's out there fixing the wood chipper, and it's loud as fuck. One, it's midnight. They even talked about how it's past midnight later in like a few minutes. And he's fixing the wood chipper, and he turns it on, and it's like the loudest thing ever. And he grabs the wood and throws it through, and just like shoots through and you know.
Yeah.
Woodchippers are not quiet and they're very fast.
You're like, that's how it actually goes through. And I was like, what, bitch, be for real.
So while that's going on, Pam is upstairs sleeping. And her tooth, she put in a little cup in the drawer and not under her pillow.
A glass cup.
I know. I don't understand what her hiding plan was there.
Yeah.
It's a see-through cup and you just put it in a drawer.
Yeah.
So the tooth fairy we come to find out comes into her room, checks under the pillow, and then bolts out of the room when Pam wakes up because there was no tooth.
Yeah, so Pam like screams and the tooth fairy runs out.
Everyone comes to Pam's aid. Everyone's like, everything's fine. While this is going on, we go back out and Bobby is hearing noises outside. He goes out and checks on it, goes back into the shed and gets knocked out. Wakes up and he's tied to a board.
Wait.
Go.
Before that, Mrs. McDonald.
Does she come before or after the wood chipping?
Before. I think she was before. Yeah, because he goes outside thinking that it's her. Yeah, so she shows up, the neighbor lady, Mrs. McDonald, which is like the McDonald farm.
Yeah.
That's fucking funny. So she comes and she's like, yo, guys, there's a fucking witch that used to live here. Like, be scared, be nervous. And I'm also going to talk directly to your 10-year-old
about how terrifying this is.
And then the mom's like, I'm taking you inside because I don't want you to hear this. And it's like, girl, you're hot. But also, like, this chick done did been talking.
She did the damage.
She's done saying what she had to say. She literally, like, the mom walks in with the daughter. And then, like, the other actress doesn't say anything else. Like, anyway.
She's a weird character, too, because I feel like they were setting her up to be a red herring. Because she was wearing the same robe as the witch.
Yeah.
And you're always like, and the witch has, like, a weird strand of blonde hair that you constantly see.
Yeah, like, Mrs. Like, McDonald had really light hair, too. Yeah.
I was like, that's Miss McDonald. She's the witch. But I don't care. Spoiler, she's not the witch.
She's not.
All right, so then Bobby goes back out to the thing, gets knocked out, tied to a board.
Yeah.
And poor Bobby. He just wanted to be an electrical engineer.
Yeah.
He gets wood chipped up.
Yeah, it was actually kind of sad. Like, he tried to, like, grab onto the wall to, like, stop himself, and he didn't.
He died so young. He was so hot.
He did die young.
He played football.
That's all it takes for you?
That's all
the dude takes. Plays football and pumps iron at midnight. That's all it fucking takes.
So everyone runs out because obviously you hear kind of screaming and wood chipping of a human body.
Yeah.
It's not something you can normally miss, but everyone runs out. And my favorite thing the star said when the cops got there was like, he was going to be an electrical engineer.
Oh, my God.
Poor star. She was really torn up. Not as bad as Bobby.
Whoa, is this too soon?
I don't know, this movie came out in 2006. I think I'm safe. He was going to be an electrical engineer.
Dude, she had some of the best fucking lines, dude. Oh, man. She talks later on about his death, and I did write that down, and I want to, like, talk about that, but not yet.
So. Okay. So the next morning, they're like, all right, that was a rough night. I don't know how everyone slept in that house after someone got shredded.
Dude, I would have taken my daughter the fuck out of there.
Yeah.
Like,
so they're like, let's go to the sheriff. Let's get our daughter ice cream and leave her completely alone in this big city.
Yeah, after someone just died.
Town.
Yeah.
Like, that they're in a, like, I don't know if it's an ice cream parlor or a restaurant, but there's, that place is packed with people.
Yeah, it was like some, yeah, because it was like a restaurant, ice cream parlor, sunglasses store.
It had a changing room, so I'm assuming a store all around.
Yeah,
I mean, small town, sometimes they load up one of those little stores.
Yeah.
So she's over trying on glasses, and Emma Imagine asked her to come into the dressing room and chat. Emma just fucking lays out the whole plan and plot.
Like, yeah.
All right.
She's like, all right, I got fucking several years to think about this. This is what you're doing, bitch. And you're doing it solo style.
What was the plan?
She's like, yo, you gotta, like, lure the fucking witch and shit and then steal her, like, music box that sings, like, Three Blind Mice or whatever the fuck. Because that's where she keeps my motherfucking teeth and all my goddamn friends' teeth. And then you'll, like, save all the kids. Don't you want to save the kids?
Yeah.
Yeah.
While this is going on, Peter and Darcy go to look for her car, which was stolen that morning. Mm-hmm. And again, we talked about how the Hammond brothers are worse than the fucking witch.
Yeah.
They run into the Hammond brothers, who had towed the car because she never paid for gas.
Yeah.
And these two are just like, I wouldn't want to be in an alleyway with them. They're like, they start beating the shit out of Peter.
Yeah.
It gets rough.
Darcy, the mom, tries to like hit him with a purse, which is like,
it worked.
I mean, like, kind of, I guess.
Must be something heavy in there.
Yeah. Peter's balls.
Well, Peter got up and beat the shit out of him. It just took him a minute.
Yeah. I don't know. But, like, yeah, the dude kept, like, threatening them that there was nothing they could do about, like, the scary redneck dude kept threatening Peter and Darcy about how there was nothing they could do about what, like, he and his brother, cousin...
Brother, because the cousin was the police officer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They're like, yeah, you can go to the cops, but you mean our cousin?
Ooh. Yeah. Yeah, which, like, I don't know. It's fucked to say, but that kind of shit does actually exist, where, like, these fucked up people can get away with doing a bunch of shit because they have ties to law enforcement stuff.
So they beat up the two. They take their keys, and they take the truck with the car attached to it. And head back to the house.
Not only does Darcy steal her car back, but she steals the other motherfucker's car, too.
Boom.
Yeah, which is like, girl, you're a paralegal. You shouldn't be doing that, but like, fuck it.
So they get back, and we get introduced to the hippie chick, which I didn't write down her name. I just kept writing Aura Chick.
And I kept Cole. Writing Chakra Bitch.
Chakra Bitch.
Oh, his name was Cole?
Yeah, the rocker was Cole.
Okay, I called him Guitar Douche.
that checks out.
That's thank you.
Pretty legit, because he was a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Aura Lady is just intense right off the bat.
Oh, yeah, dude.
She was telling the girl again, like, there's a spirit in this house ready to fuck you up.
Yeah, like, the two adults and the little girl come back, and they're, like, kind of talking a little bit about, like, why the fuck the guitar dude is there and the shocker chick is there. And the guitar dude is friends with Peter. Peter had asked him like days ago to come over and help him with like repairs on the house to get it ready for their like grand opening. You said his name was Cole.
Yeah.
And Cole, the guitarist, is like talking about, you know, how he came to help, and he has like some shit that he needs to do a gig soon.
No, go ahead.
And like introduces them to like the chakra chick and stuff. Then they like briefly talk about like the like violent interaction they had with those dudes, and they go to go in, and the chakra chick like looks right at the fucking girl who's like trying to walk into the house and like stops her and is like, there's evil in this fucking place. It's like, what do you want me to do about it?
Well, she even said like, yeah, I know. She was going in the house. It takes like no time for us to figure out that Cole's a piece of shit, because it like cuts through that night. I don't think I'm missing anything between then and there.
I think so.
Maybe Pam had a talk with a ghost girl. I don't remember. But Cole's like, yo, I have to leave in the morning and I need $800.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to, you know, press more of our CDs.
Yeah, he's asking Peter to give him money and shit and saying that like he's not going to help him like he had originally promised he would.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cole is also like fucking hitting on Star like none other. And he has one of those like fucking cut pine cone necklaces that people buy at raves. Like, I'm sorry, red flag. Red motherfucking flag.
So I shouldn't get one.
I mean, do what you're gonna do, but like,
just know it's a red flag.
Don't do Danny. That.
All right, I want to take a second to talk about the most awkward conversation is when Darcy gets into bed with Peter. And they talk about their relationship in a weird way. They talk about how, I don't even understand why Peter said this at one point, but he's like, the Hammond brothers really redeemed themselves today. And I'm like, what?
Yeah, he's like making like the weirdest fucking shit, like conversation to her. Like, it's...
And then when she first gets in bed, she's like, how's your head? And he goes, which one? And I throw up in her mouth instantly.
Like, dude, no. And while he's doing that, fucking Cole's trying to like hit on Star downstairs in the kitchen, and she's like, this is what I wrote down, this is what Star has to say about Bobby's death. It just really bums me out. Oh,
yeah. It like, happened less than 24 hours ago.
Like all these, like all of the conversations that are going on at this time, like upstairs and in the motherfucking kitchen, are just so uncomfortable to watch. It's just like so cringy. Ugh.
There, I wrote at this point, there's so many people I want to die in this movie.
Yeah. Almost,
I think everyone that I wanted to die died, so that worked out.
I had made a guess like right after we found out that Bobby had died.
Yeah.
And who's gonna die next, and I was wrong. And then I made a new guess and I was also fucking wrong.
Wait, what were the guesses?
So I wrote down that Bobby was the first to die because I thought that, you know, he was having like impure thoughts and sexual desires that were kind of like specifically directed at Star. And then I said that I thought that Star was going to be the second to die, you know, because she's a sex symbol and she is trying to like turn her life around. So it was supposed to kind of have like maybe some emotional significance to the audience. And that the third to die or last to die would be Peter. At this point, when I had made these guesses, we had met Cole and the chakra chick. But that like, you know, they were like the only ones left, and that Peter would be the third to die because he was going to sacrifice himself for Pam and his MILF.
I could have saw that.
Yeah.
My favorite death was next in the movie. So our chakra girl's upstairs at night because everyone's, you know, flirting with everyone else and laying in bed with everyone else. And she's like trying to ward off evil spirits in the room, saying the most over the top like chakra stuff.
And I loved that about her.
And the witch just comes into the room and stands behind her. He gets up and she's like, I have experience with evil spirits. I know how to take care of you. Be gone. Yeah. Like saying everything possibly she could to try to like ward off this witch. And then like unexpectedly, I mean, earlier in the movie, someone used a nail gun. I didn't think it was going to come back as the witch's new weapon.
It was Bobby. He was using the nail gun to like,
yeah,
as a nail gun.
But this witch suddenly became like a witch with a nail gun for the rest of the movie. And she fucking crucifies our chakra girl to the wall.
Yeah.
Hands, her palm and both of her feet to the ground. And then just like uses an axe and cuts her guts out, spill out on the floor.
It was wild. And it was, I don't know, it was kind of sad. She was like, she became my favorite character just after she was like doing the crazy shit, you know? She's my favorite, so I was kind of a little bit sad that she was gone.
Oh, and so everyone screams because you can hear all this going on, the screaming. And Pam runs out of the house. And I forgot to mention that the Hammond brothers showed up to take back their truck. Mm-hmm. And they brought their disfigured sister.
No, like, yeah, maybe disfigured. Sorry. I don't remember what their explanation was about her.
Did they say? I don't remember if they did.
I thought that she was like an old lady, dude.
And well, I know that's her sister. It could have been an older sister, a younger sister, but she had no part in this movie. She was walking up to the house with a nice pick. You're like, oh, shit's about to go down. But the next time you see her, she is dead on the porch with a bunch of nails in her back.
Yeah.
Falling on Pam.
Yeah, that poor little fucking girl, dude.
She saw so many deaths.
She was there for a goddamn weekend.
Yeah. This was all 24 hours that she saw this. So Pam runs off screaming as a child should when she sees a death in front of her. And she runs and finds Imagine in the woods. But the parents go looking for her, and they go to the neighbor, and the neighbor says all this stuff about how you have to kill the witch. And I wrote, it's not exactly what she said, but I was like, a witch is so nice, you got to burn her twice. Because that was the whole thing. You have to burn her once to weaken her, and then the second time you burn her, her soul dies.
Yeah, well, that like, okay, so wait, another Star moment.
Yes, Star.
Star goes outside after she sees that like the Hammond, is that the people's last name?
Yeah,
the Hammond sister, like dead on the porch. She's like face down, fuck ass ton of nails in her back. Like,
yeah, a lot,
dude. And she like goes to like go back inside and like steps over the lady's body and is just like, ew.
Yeah. My favorite line was at this part too, is when Pam goes to the ghost girl and says, the witch is now wielding a nail gun and an axe and she's super fast. And I'm like, yes, that's the way a witch should be. Nail guns and axes and super fast. Motherfucking fast.
Yeah, but the Mrs. McDonald, the neighbor, was talking about like ancient druids and shit, and that was so confusing to me.
She got too deep into it. If you want to help these people out, don't give them every part of the lore possible.
Well, it was really confusing because like, how is the ancient druid shit like tied to the story of this witch? Because like, the ancient druids were talking about like, I don't even remember what the fuck exactly she was saying, but like, it was like almost like evil like spirits and shit like that, like stealing teeth and like making like using them as like some kind of like magic shit to like tie the child's soul to them or some shit, and then that's what like the witch was doing. But it's like, how is she a witch then?
Yeah,
you know, like what, like how did, and so like did she like make a covenant with like some ancient druid like force? Like what the fuck does that have to do with anything?
Maybe that, who knows,
that confused the fuck out of me. Also, the actress kind of sucked.
Yeah, the neighbor.
Yeah, she's like ancient druids.
So we finally get the Hammond brothers dying, which was really important to me. First off, they chased down the girl on the bike.
Yeah, dude.
Like, you guys are complete monsters. This is a child. They're like, trying to run her off the road.
Yeah, they're in a truck chasing a little girl, a 10-year-old, on a fucking bike. That's wild.
Yeah. And they crash the truck. They get out. They're wandering through the woods. Chuck's like, I have to take a piss. Stand over there. This was funny. Mm-hmm. What happens?
He's like pissing, and then the one dude's like, what are we gonna do, Chuck? And that's like what he says all the time. And then Chuck is like, I'm gonna take a piss, leave me alone, like why are you so fucking needy? And then like the fucking witch comes up and he like looks over with his big ass like bulging eyeballs and he's like, what? And then the witch just fucking like bam chops his dick right the motherfuck off, and then he like falls to the ground and he's like kind of writhing in pain a little bit. And then the one guy who's like, he's always like, what are we going to do, Chuck? He like goes up to him and he's like, what are you doing on the ground? Chuck like doesn't say anything. Then he like looks. He's like, I wrote it down. This is the best fucking line ever. He's like, what's your dick doing over there, Chuck?
And it cut to an image of his dick chopped off over there.
Just like on the ground, balls and everything.
Yeah. And then the witch comes up and axes him in the back.
Yeah.
And then his last line is, what are we going to do now, Chuck?
Yeah. I was really hoping that his last line was going to be, what's your dick doing over there, Chuck? Dude.
One part of that scene that I thought was really funny that you, I mean, it's hard to notice, is when the witch is coming up to chop Chuck's dick off. She's like stumbling through the grass to try to get to him. And it felt very B-movie, like someone filming it and the actress not being able to get through the brush.
Yeah, like they can't fucking see because of the mask on.
I was like, oh, that witch is having a hard time.
It's like dark. You have a fucking mask that's like obscuring your vision and you're trying to just fucking walk in the goddamn woods. That'd suck.
So we cut back to the house and Cole and Star are, I don't even remember the words they were saying that led up to them getting ready to fuck.
Dude, it was.
He was saying this typical like, I'm a poet and like I write my lyrics and this everything that's happened tonight.
Oh my god, yeah, fucking yeah, fucking dude. People are getting murdered and that motherfucker's like, I'm gonna write a song. Like,
yeah,
this is not the time, bitch.
He goes,
and she's like, oh my god, like, are you writing a song?
He goes, death and like love. It like makes you feel like alive.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh my god, is that a song? He's like, it's gonna be. So they go upstairs, they start making out, and she's like, hold on, let me go get pampered up. Mm-hmm. And she cuts to the bathroom. Mm-hmm. And he's getting ready, and this was awesome. I feel like he was getting ready to be pegged.
Dude, yeah, he like rolls over on his stomach and he's like shaking his ass and like grabbing onto the bedpost. Like
that's the sexy pose he was preparing for.
Yeah.
Because the witch comes in and he thinks it's her at first because the witch grabs his hair from behind. And he's like, oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
And he's like, he said, are you going to spank me? And she's in the bathroom like, yeah, if you want me to. Calm down. I'm not there yet.
Yeah.
And he looks back. It's the witch. And she just takes an axe and fucking chops at his head.
Yep.
Decapitated. Poor Cole. He really let that rock star fandom go to his head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So she comes out of the bathroom. She's topless.
And it's the first time we saw titties.
Titties. She did good for herself.
Yeah.
But she goes over and pulls up. It looks like Cole's just laying there with a boner. And yeah. It's the axe that's like stuck in him up like it's a penis.
Yeah, it's funny.
And she goes and pulls the pillow off of his face. Oh, wait, there's no face.
What face?
Yeah.
He's got no face.
And she just fucking passes out.
Yeah. Like, titties. Out fucking
she's scared
panties on panties see-through fucking passes out just titties face down on his fucking body.
Yeah, so our family comes back to the house finally after they found their daughter, and they come into the house and you hear thudding down the stairs. This poor fucking girl,
dude. That's what I wrote at this part too.
Go
dude,
for it.
No, just poor Pam, dude. You say it, but like
Cole's head falls down the stairs right in front of Pam.
Yeah.
Like lands at her feet. Ugh. She's a 10-year-old child. And she's witness two deaths, but scene three, because she went out to the shed with everyone else. No, she didn't. She stayed in the house.
Dude, the shed one would have been like probably I don't know, man. The fucking nail shit was really rough too. The head?
I mean, yeah.
I don't know.
There was a lot of shit that fucked with her.
It was like, it was really like gruesome deaths, which was like cool from like a gore standpoint. I think that was really interesting and cool, but dude, this poor girl.
So then Peter goes upstairs. He gets very fatherly and he like takes care of Star. He like throws her in the shower, puts something over her. He's like, all right, stay with us, Star, because what you just saw is fucked up, all this stuff. This is when the movie kind of turns into like Goosebumps for a minute, because like Pam runs off again. Does she run off alone? Yeah, she just run off alone again.
She keeps running off alone. I want to say, though, real quick, that Peter was like an absolute fucking gentleman about seeing Star's titties. Like,
yeah,
you don't see his eyes dart down one fucking time. He nope. just doesn't. He knows her titties are out and he's like, all right, I know where her fucking eyes are. And that's what I'm gonna focus on. And like,
just throws her in the shower, grabs a towel and has it ready to wrap around her.
Total gentleman. Total fucking gentleman.
Total gentleman, Peter. So Pam runs off again, and this time she goes to the graveyard and finds out all the kids are there. All the ghosts are there. They pop out and it looks very cheesy, like a Goosebumps TV show. They're like, oh my God, we're so sad. We need our teeth so we can pass on.
It was kind of giving Coraline.
Yeah, I could see that too. And then her parents finally find, no, she goes home. Tells the parents to follow her back to the graveyard. They go through this long spiel where she's like, believe me, there's ghosts. Her mom never fucking believes her till this point in the movie.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I wanted to bring up earlier. She was like, stop reading Harry Potter. Your imagination's too much. Your imagination's too much. I should stay home from work because her imagination's just too much.
Yeah, that's what she mentions when Peter's like talking about his dick.
Yes. Okay. Well, it's true.
Tell me I'm wrong.
No, you're right. You're right. So yeah, they make a plan. You have to burn the witch. She's going to get the box. It seems very convoluted and intense.
Yeah, because when Mrs. McDonald was talking to them, she said like about the druids and shit. But she also said you have to burn the witch twice, because the first time she's going to be able to like put the flames out or something. But the second time she won't.
And her soul dies.
Yeah. And then from what Emma had said to Pam, Pam is also going to try to like take the box of teeth and bring it back to the graveyard.
Yeah, this next part pissed me off because Pam is like, all right, I've got a plan, parents.
Mm-hmm.
I need you guys to stay close, but far enough away where I can do this. These parents do not fucking stay close. I'm sorry, if my child is fighting a witch and they say stay close. Yeah. One, this scenario shouldn't be happening to begin with.
Yeah. But
I stay in the room next door.
Dude. Fucking. Baiting a fucking evil entity with your fucking 10-year-old daughter. How does that equal good parenting? Like.
This witch is clearly that, like, supernatural to the point of, like, popping in and out mystically. She jumped out a window earlier.
Yeah.
To get away. So, like, I would have been in the closet. Your daughter's laying in the bed with a tooth on her pillow if we have to do the bait thing.
I would have been on the other side of the fucking bed, homie. Like,
or behind the door.
Yeah.
But no, like, you leave it all up to your daughter. So the witch comes in, grabs a tooth. Pam's smart and pulls out a mirror because the witch doesn't like seeing herself.
Yeah, because apparently she's ugly from what the one guy said. Yeah. The one kid at the beginning.
But then Pam, like, throws the mirror on the ground, which is dumb because she's mirrorless now.
Yeah, but also she's 10. She shouldn't be doing this. It should be the mom laying in the bed with Pam's tooth wearing a fucking brown wig.
That's a good idea. Like, that's what I fucking meant. Oh, shit. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
The witch is chasing Pam through the house. Then the mom finally pops out after, like, going through 6 rooms. Cool.
Yeah.
And the mom has a big mirror. Scares the witch away. The witch goes into, like, a secret, like, cupboard. Like, a pantry cupboard. And then goes down into the basement. Does Peter not know about this? Do you not know about the weird basement in this house you just bought?
Right.
So the basement's still full of the witch's stuff. This is clearly where she's been living. Oh my God.
And all that food is probably expired.
I'm glad that's where you're going with this.
I was just like, oh wow, it's a lot of food.
I didn't know why they let her go to the basement, but it's because she goes down and she puts the tooth in the box. That was the whole thing. They need to get this box because all the teeth. Mm-hmm. And then Pam, why Pam again? This is a 10-year-old child.
Yeah.
Goes into the basement, grabs the box, and then the witch is pissed off and chases her. Like, where are the parents?
Yeah, dude.
I know Peter is outside waiting because as soon as they walk outside, he sprays the witch and burns her the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's still on fire chasing Pam to the graveyard. Again, the parents are very slow to catch up to all them.
Yeah, dude. It was really stressful because Pam is running through the fucking graveyard and the sun is coming up, so, like, you know, you can see everything really well. There's not really anywhere for her to hide in the graveyard or anything, and the witch is fucking chasing her with a goddamn fucking hatchet or axe or whatever, and it's fucking swinging at her and shit. And, like, that would be so goddamn scary.
Yeah.
If you were literally anyone, let alone a fucking child. Like, dude.
I did write down, I'm really glad she dropped the nail gun at some point, because that would have been even scarier.
Oh, my fucking God.
A nail gun shooting at you while you're being chased by an axe witch.
There's no way. I'd throw up.
So Pam puts the box on Emma Jin's. Mm-hmm. Grave and starts it, and then all the ghosts show up and they're just, like, waiting with, like, bats, like they're like mobsters from the 50s, like,
yeah, cute little mobsters.
Just 10-year-old mobsters,
baby mobsters. I almost said lobsters. I think it's because I was doing this.
For the listeners, she was doing pinching fingers with her fingers. Don't keep it. So the parents finally show up. Finally. God, it felt like 10 minutes out there of her being chased by an axe.
Well, and maybe it's just because I was like, I don't think I was looking down at this part. I think it also looked for a second like fucking the mom was in the graveyard for a while. Because she, like, pops up. Right?
She was just waiting for her time.
Yeah, actually, you can probably see in really angry fucking letters I wrote. So the mom was there when the witch was swinging a fucking axe at her daughter.
Parenting. Stellar parenting. Yeah. So yeah, Peter finally shows up again, sprays the witch down. They burn her again. It's the second time.
Mm-hmm.
Witch drops to the ground. She does a weird thing where she grabs, like, a handful of teeth and, like, puts it up to her chest. I'm like, is that supposed to do something? Like, you didn't take all the teeth. You just took a handful. Does that make you powerful or something?
Yeah.
But
she can get more bikes.
This is my bike teeth money. So she melts to the ground, and then all the ghost kids come up and, like, the most cute way try to beat up this, like, witch on the ground with their bats and stuff, and then they all start picking up their teeth. It was, each one started, like, turning into a light and floating up into the sky.
Yeah, I actually wrote down something that you said. You're like, ooh, is one of the kids going to go to hell? That'd be cool.
Oh, yeah, because the kids said they were stuck between heaven and hell. And I was like, oh.
So who's going to hell?
So they all float up. The daughter says goodbye to Imagine. Imagine floats away. And like they go away, like the family, and the witch goes up and like it looks like she's about to go into heaven, then flames burst into the sky.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, like she just what's going on there?
Yeah.
They get back to the house. Star survived.
Yeah.
You didn't think Star was going to survive.
I did not. I had like zero fucking hope for Star.
I didn't either. And I thought she was great just because she was so nerdy about plants or birds and animals.
Yeah.
Anything else happen? Oh, you got confusions.
I did.
Go for it.
But so I said that I was glad that Star survived, and you know she's like thanking Peter and stuff for like treating her like a human and never like flirting with her or hitting on her or just like essentially like sexualizing her, since that's what every fucking other dude did in the goddamn movie. I wrote down that I feel like Peter, because at one point when fucking Peter and Darcy were in the bed together and he's like saying his stupid shit, I was like, what the fuck does the MILF see in Peter? But he's actually a good dude, and I think that the MILF's lucky to have him. Like, you know, he cares about her daughter and stuff. He just wants to like fucking be an innkeeper. Like, that's so
he just wants
chill.
To write his stories.
Yeah. Like, good for him, I guess, you know. And then also, like I said, he was a total fucking gentleman about Star's titties, and she like
I also want to bring up one more thing about Peter. At one point they were talking on the porch, and he's like, I was a doctor, but I wasn't a good doctor. This is why I want to write books. Dude, if you're not a good doctor, you should be in jail. I don't know. What did you do?
Yeah, no, like, that's actually a really good point.
Not a good doctor. That's not a profession that you are good at. And you're just like, all right, I don't think I'm good for this.
Yeah, well, just before he said that, he made a comment about like ugly babies.
Yeah.
It's like, homie, all babies are ugly when they're born.
I was just not a good doctor, so I'm going to write books.
Yeah, I didn't give a fuck about those babies, so I need to be writing books, dude.
All right, so your confusions.
Okay, so some questions that I had after, like, watching it. Like, did the police ever come? Because that was, like, a big thing. Star and the guitar dude stayed back while the mom and Peter were looking for Pam. They stayed back to call the cops, and he's like, oh, man, this is, like, the third time I tried to get, and I couldn't get through. And so, like, what the fuck? Did they ever get a hold of the police? Also, like, how is no one being investigated for murder? 6 motherfucking people died here.
Yeah.
And, like, I'd be looking at the girl, dude. Girl shows up, little girl shows up, and then 6 fucking people die. That's suspicious. And she's like, keeps talking about like a witch. This is like, this is like the black dog story.
Yeah. Anyways.
So also Mrs. McDonald says at one point that she saw the witch. Can you like explain that? Like, she saw the witch when she was, did they ever talk about that?
No.
Like, when she saw that, she's like, I seen it. I know there's a fucking witch.
I seen it.
And then like she knows all this shit about the witch, and then like they never talk about like, did you see the witch as a kid? And like, like, what the fuck? I don't know, that kind of bothered me a little bit. So at like the very, very end, like the last scene before like the credits, it like goes up to the window, and you see like a black figure move in the window, like assuming that it's like the witch, you know?
Yeah.
So like, did the witch fucking die or what the fuck? Like, that's a big question I have. And then also, I just hope that they all go to therapy, because every single one of them, Star needs therapy. Pam definitely needs fucking therapy. She needs, I hope that not only do Darcy and Peter go to therapy, but they also go to like couples counseling. I think that after like seeing all of that shit, that could potentially put like a huge strain on their relationship, because they're going to have a hard time understanding how each other copes with the shit that they just saw. So like, I just really hope that, you know, they talk to someone and get some help.
I want to play a quick game with you.
With me?
Yes. So there are 5 sequels or continuations of the story on Tubi. I'm going to say the name of it, and I want you to tell me what you think the movie's plot is.
Okay.
Tooth Fairy, Drill to Kill.
I think that maybe it's kind of like more of an explanation of the Tooth Fairy's origins.
After the events of the horrifying school trip where students and faculty brutally slain, a surviving teacher realizes the nightmare hasn't ended. Wow, that sounds more interesting than the one we just watched.
I think that I'm right.
Yeah. Tooth Fairy, she comes to collect.
Tooth Fairy quits her job.
I like this.
Becomes a debt collector. Fucking hates it because everyone's a cunt to her. And then she starts going back to like her old ways and murdering bitches who were mean to her when she was trying to collect their debts. And
so naturally, she collects the debts, she collects the teeth.
She gets more bikes.
A lady caring for her late sister's son goes to Nana's house, where the legend of the Tooth Fairy who rips teeth out comes true when the power goes out. Oh, geez.
Only when the power goes out?
Yeah.
That's.
And we don't know actually if these are real.
Really specific.
Like attached to this Tooth Fairy movie.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
But I thought this would be fun. All right. Tooth Fairy.
Seem like it,
Queen of Pain. Oh, Queen of Pain. Queen girl?
Wait a minute. Is that my new tattoo name?
Love it.
So the Tooth Fairy realizes that her true calling, which is like extremely close to what she's already been doing, is dentistry. she just doesn't understand anesthesia. Because that's not part of her training. She wasn't an anesthesiologist. Of course, she was a dentist. So she performs and practices dentistry without a license and without numbing. And that's why she has like little grippy things.
A school trip turns deadly. Oh, it's
the other one.
Children, when they terrorize unhinged escape mental patient who claims to be the Tooth Fairy. Oh, that sounds even more fucked up. All right, I want to do the next one. Tooth Fairy, The Last Extraction. Continuing on yours, I think she was doing the unlicensed dentistry and she wanted to retire. She was tired of it.
Yeah.
And her people kept booking her and she lost it and just killed all of her employees.
Oh, wow. Yeah. No, that would be stressful.
The third installment of the series, adult Corey takes his daughter on a summer break with friends who do not know Corey's past is chasing them. Well, we don't know who Corey is. And the last one, Tooth Fairy, Roots of Evil. I think all these have teeth puns in them.
I think you might be right.
Drill to Kill, She Comes to Collect, Queen of Pain. Well, I guess not all of them. The Last Extraction and Root of Evil. All right, what's Root of Evil about?
That's her origin story. That makes sense, right? Because it's the root. It's the root.
15 years after his family's murder, Corey, still plagued by nightmares, will come face to face with demonic torturer during school reunion. Man, this Corey guy. I feel like all of these are connected. And have nothing to do with one we just watched.
I don't know. I don't think those two are.
These two, Drill to Kill and.
No. I don't think Drill to Kill or She Comes to Collect are connected.
Oh, yeah, because this one is school related, school bus related, and then Corey and Corey related. I think you're right. I think these four.
No, actually, now that you say that, I think that you're right.
Look at the font. The T and the tooth is the same on all those four. Oh, and that one.
Okay.
So I think all those are connected. I think the one we watched tonight has nothing to do with the 4 or 5 we just talked about. So scratch that. But I hope you guys enjoyed that little guess at what this could be about.
That's fun.
So what'd you think of the movie?
I liked it. Yeah.
It was better than I thought it was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
It was fun. It was silly. The ghosts were a little ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like the way they popped in and out did just feel like. And Are You Afraid of the Dark episode?
Yeah, I feel like the parts that were like the most, I guess, anxiety inducing you know, if that's would be like the parts with the redneck dudes.
Yeah, the Hammond brothers.
Yeah.
They were just the worst. Mm-hmm. I'm glad he got his dick chopped off.
Yeah, man. Fucking. Like, I know I'm not supposed to root for the Tooth Fairy, but like.
She did gone. She my did girl, good there.
Yeah, my girl kind of popped off with that one. Like.
Well, thank you for listening to another episode of Bourbon and Blood. And it was a pleasure again having you. And I will have you again.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Thanks for having me.
And I'll be back soon. Bye.
Bye.